Hello, everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games, making games, and frogs, brought to you by Oh, a Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of Oh, a Rock Studios.
And I'm Orglethump, the Nancy Drew dude. I am a writer for Oh, a Rock Studios. Also a big frog enthusiast.
Yeah, one of these days I'm going to have to think of an actual third thing to put in that list so I'm not just saying whatever stupid thing comes to mind. We actually have a very lovely frog pond like within walking distance of my house. They're all kind of hibernating now, but during the summer we'd walk there and we'd see, you know, like a few dozen frogs splashing into the water as soon as we approached. So you didn't really see the frogs so much as you saw kind of the frog butts going into the water. But it's really cool.
Are they extremely noisy at nighttime?
Luckily, we're not close enough to know that. So, how's it going?
It's going well. I just started my new job this week, and so it's kind of busy adjusting to the new job. And so what I've tried to do is get my video game work around that. So, you know, I have like an hour bus ride to and from work. So I try to write stuff on the bus and, on the bus coming home.
That sounds like a very efficient use of time.
Yeah, it's not been as good as I thought it would be. It's definitely not as fast as the progress was for Cat President. I guess that's good transition as any into NaNoWriMo.
Yeah, is that how we pronounce it, actually?
I have no idea.
We never know how to pronounce this stuff. But yeah, that's actually what I wanted to ask you about, because we talked about this before, how last year you wrote the whole script for Cat President as part of NaNoWriMo, and now you're working on a few other games for this month, right?
So I did the pizza delivery boy who saved the world. And I'm currently working on a lawyer FMV, and I kind of dabbled a bit in Cat President DLC, but I haven't written like more than a chapter at all.
No, I mean, this is good. I feel like this might be our system, right? Like November of the year, write all of the scripts that we're going to be working on for the following year. Like that seems to be how it's kind of worked out, or maybe work on shorter games in the meantime, But I mean, that's basically how it worked out for Cat President, right? Like, you spent November writing Cat President, and then we were working on getting that produced, you know, from November until, August this year. It worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I think Pizza Delivery Boy is probably going to be a lot faster since it's nowhere near as long.
Yeah, I know. The script is 80-some pages, and Cat President was around 350, if I recall.
Yep.
It's not going to be like a super short game, I don't think. Like it's definitely going to be longer than like Francie Drew and My Nigerian Prince, but hopefully it should go a little faster. I guess we'll find out. By the way, I told my wife Elizabeth the name of the game, the pizza delivery boy who saved the world, and she just burst out laughing. So I think that means we're off to a good start, at least.
Oh, is that going to be the official title of the game?
Now I kind of want it to be. Yeah.
I've got a lot of placeholder names in there. I think this time I was good and actually labeled everything as a placeholder name. That way we can change it, and it's not like with Francie Drew where Katie was a placeholder name. I just put down my wife's name, and that just made it all the way through to the final version of the game, because nobody remembered to change it.
I actually spent some time the other day trying to brainstorm like pizza-related pun names, like in Phoenix Wright. It did not go great. Let me read you a few of the options I came up with, and you can completely yell at me, and everyone can laugh at me. Slice o' pie.
No.
How about pepperoni? Tom Ado. Marinara.
Oh, I hate marinara sauce. I think I put that in the pizza delivery boy script. I think. Yeah, it's towards the end of the game. I don't know if you've read the entire Pizza Delivery Boy
I haven't gotten
script.
That far. I'm about halfway through, I think.
So towards the end of the game, I put in a part where our hero tries to purposely block somebody or delay somebody, filibuster somebody. And so he just goes on this long rant against everything that I didn't like about the job, but couldn't figure out a better place to put it. And so he complains about the people who order like 50 cups of ranch to go with their pizza and they expect it to be free. It's like, okay, here it is. It's like, what about Parmesan cheese packets? Red peppers? I have plenty of those. No. A side of ranch then? You wouldn't believe how many people ask for an extra side of ranch with their breadsticks. They think the extra ranch is free, but no, it's not. You have to pay for it. Actually, never mind. That seems like a stupid thing to complain about now that I'm rereading this.
For the record, Parmesan was also on my list, although I stole that from a Game Cola fan, so I don't know if I can really use it, but...
Also tomatoes. Also, people complaining about tomatoes being sliced the wrong way. It's just...
I would like to stop the podcast now and ask, what is the right or wrong way to slice a tomato?
Some people want them cut vertically, other people wanted them cut, some people wanted diced tomatoes. I think that's exactly what they wanted. But I have had somebody that's like, oh, nope, those slices are too thin. Yeah, that's a pain. It's like, those are sliced too thin. Go in the back and slice it again.
Wow. Wait, is that in the game? I like that one.
Joe's like, and tomatoes, people want sliced tomatoes to put on their pizza. Like, hello, there are already tomatoes inside the tomato sauce. Get with the program. Plus, no one agrees on how tomatoes should be sliced. The one lady sent me back to the store because the tomatoes were cut horizontally. Were only cut horizontally. Like, number one, that's diced tomatoes, not sliced tomatoes. Number two, just pull out a knife and cut them yourself. Don't make me drive an extra half hour to and from the store because you're picky.
Yeah, reading through the script, this might surprise... I got the impression that you didn't like that job very much. That was sort of the impression I was left with.
Yeah, well, that actually did happen. It's like, oh, okay, sure, I have nothing better to do than spend a half hour, you know, an extra hour, half hour to an hour just driving back to the store because you want a different thing of tomatoes.
So this actually segues into something I wanted to touch upon, but we can get back to NaNoWriMo in a little bit.
Yeah. I also wanted to say that it's like, I feel like I might want to change a lot of the stuff with the game because I feel it was too mean.
Well, I've been going through the script and very diligently, like, making notes on ideas we might be able to take stuff in. So, I'll go through and make all my notes and send it to you, and we can do a second draft of it.
Yeah, because
that's kind of unheard of for Oarok Studios. A second draft. This will be a new adventure for us.
Yes.
Because I feel like Cat President, there weren't a lot of like really big changes that we made. Like a few. Like I don't know. I'm a copy editor by trade, so I made lots of little fiddly tweaks that were ultimately meaningless, but not like a lot of like story changes or anything like that.
There were like two story changes. I had to completely rewrite the first chapter of Dr. Nom Noms, and then I rewrote like 2/3 of the Rover storyline.
That's right, because wasn't Rover too racist or something like that?
Rover was too racist, and it was going to be like there was going to be a war against the dog country, actually.
Oh yeah, and it wasn't like, and there were some current events happening at the time that made that a little iffy.
Yeah, I think that's actually on the NaNoWriMo, however you pronounce it. On my original description for the game.
Anyway, but yeah, I wanted to. this is again a little bit of a segue, but I wanted to talk with you about. When someone asks you, like when you're meeting someone for the first time at a party and they ask you what you do for a living, what do you tell them? Like I've run into the issue a few times lately too, and video games are kind of my full-time thing now, and I'm noticing more and more that it's like, it's difficult to explain what I do and still sound like I'm a grown-up who does grown-up things. So what do you tell people? Like, well, I guess now you have a fancy person job, but
yeah, I have a fancy person job.
but before that,
it's interesting because it's funny because you know I've got a stepdaughter who's in second grade, and you know sometimes you know second graders will talk about their parents and what they do, and she gets mad because both of my jobs sound super fun to the kids in their class. It's like, what, he makes pizza all day long? What? He plays video games all day long? That's so cool. And Mary got mad because they all want to talk about me instead of her.
Well, that's true though. Like games, jobs in video games, they sound way cooler to kids than they do to adults that you're trying to impress.
Yeah. So basically, what I'll do is I will say that I produce video content for YouTube, and I'll mention book reviews.
That's pretty good.
Because people accept that, and I could say I'm a writer. I won't volunteer that I'm writing games about cats. And yeah, basically that's how I handle it. You know, yeah. I state it in generic terms so they can draw their own conclusion, and they inevitably draw a more favorable conclusion than they would if I said, "Hey, I play with video games and cats."
Yeah, like I've been trying real hard because we just moved to a new area. Where we think we're going to be living long term. The last several places we lived in, we knew we were only going to be living there for a year. So, you know, we were meeting new people, but I'm only going to be seeing these people for a year. So who cares what they think about us? But now we're going to be living here for a while now. And so I'm trying to make a good impression on people, right? And I'm like, what do I do? Because I used to be able to fall back on the fact that, oh, I'm a copy editor with a, you know, whatever company. But that's increasingly a lot less of my work time now, like, a lot less of my time. So now I'm really like telling people I'm a computer game developer, and every time like the words come out of my mouth, it sounds like I'm making it up, or it sounds like, oh, I sit in my underpants all day. Like,
you
it's basically how it comes across.
You're a computer programmer.
Yeah, that could work. I don't know, and then we get the follow-up questions like, what kind of games do you make? And, you know, I don't want to say, like, I make romantic visual novels where people can date cats, or I make black and white artsy FMV, faux artsy FMV games, and then have to explain what FMV means to it. So, like, you know, I go, I make, you know, story-based games, games with puzzles, stuff like that, and then, I don't know, it's tough. Especially if you're talking with someone who doesn't really know a lot about computer games, like, you can't say, I work on point-and-click adventure games and visual novels, because those phrases are complete nonsense to people who aren't into games.
Yeah, so what I've seen other people do is refer to games that might be known. So, like, whenever my wife tries to explain adventure games to somebody, she will fall back upon Myst or something like that. Mm. And whenever she's describing a visual novel, she's like, just think of it a game where they've got pictures and a lot of text, and occasionally the pictures change.
I love it. I for visual novels, I usually go, it's kind of like those choose your own adventure books that they had when we were kids. Because mm-hmm. That's sort of close. It doesn't really quite get at the, you know, nitty gritty of the genre, but it's the same basic idea. And what you were saying about Myst too, my fallbacks are usually King's Quest and Monkey Island, and oftentimes those perk somebody's ears.
You know, I just don't think I was with anybody who's played King Quest or Monkey Island. We are just so weird. That's why we need to make an adventure game together, is because we totally don't agree on what adventure games are the best.
Gosh. Would it be good or would it be bad? I'm like, you know, sitting there like, okay, we need a puzzle where you have a coffee mug and you combine it with a Mickey Mouse hat, and you're like, you know, no, we need logic puzzles, Nancy Drew stuff. It would be a disaster. But if anyone here is listening who can do pixel art and wants to join our team, podcast at oarock.com or paul at oarock.com, we need an artist.
Yeah, I meant to respond to you that at some point I'll have to try pixel art. You just need to give me an assignment and I'll try it out. But again, after I finish writing all these projects that I'm writing.
Yeah, for those of you who don't follow both. Oh wait, actually, I think I even emailed. That wasn't even on Twitter. But I'm trying to push Michael into getting into pixel art, because if he can do that, we will like be the ultimate adventure game team.
Yeah, no, because I recently played, months ago, I played the Pepper's Adventures in Time game, and it was a very weird experience for me playing this really old adventure game. But I thought the weirdest part was towards the end when I was coming up with ideas. It's like, oh, this is how they could make that final puzzle even more difficult. Yes. Here's how they could change it. Here's how they could make it better. And I mean, I guess they wanted to make the final puzzle somewhat easy for the player, because it is supposed to be a kid's game.
Does it have like a cursor interface, or is that one of the really old ones where you type in the commands on a keyboard?
No, it is a Sierra game. It's got a cursor interface. Yeah. It's one of those
games.
A
lot of old Sierra games don't have cursor interfaces. Like the original King's Quest is typing everything.
Yeah, so this is one where I think you right click to go through the various icons and such like that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's exactly what we did for Beard in the Mirror. Yeah.
So it's a good game. It's just I'd say too overly verbose and slow. And the fact that it's overly verbose makes it seem even slower than it actually is. Like, there's 1 minute they spend like a five-minute cutscene for these two kids that must have won a contest, like being in a Sierra adventure game contest. And it's a just 5 minute cutscene with them showing up saying, "Hi, oh, we're getting candy," and then they leave, and that's basically it. You never see them
that's
again.
Awesome.
And you know, somebody comments on the fact it's like, wow, those characters look really, really different, because they basically scanned in a photo of these people's faces.
Oh, but that's fun though. Like, that's the sort of thing I would love doing if we were developing enough of a fan base. You know, run content. I mean, I guess we did that on a different scale with Cat President and all of our friends' cats appearing in the games. But I love stuff like that. Like, I would name all the characters after fans if it made sense. You know,
uh-huh.
Stick everyone in the game. I think stuff like that's really neat. As long as you can, you know, actually work it into the game and not be like, just here's a couple of contest winners. Bye, guys.
Yeah, that is exactly what they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I think that was a good segue for another placeholder name I wanted to point out with Cat President, your best friend Lizzie. That is a placeholder name.
Was she named after anybody?
The main character in Pride and Prejudice. I kind of use those characters as placeholder names sometimes. I am trying to remember where I had a Jane. I guess I don't know. Whatever.
But of course, there's parts later where you have Frisky's lady friends all named after the cast of Full House.
Yes.
And the Space Jam, the cast of Space Jam has a debate in one of the pathways, too. I was actually just watching a Let's Play video of that part of the game, and I was very disappointed that the person didn't catch on to that. I guess they weren't a big Space Jam fan.
Yeah. Well, I seem to remember Diana Gray's playthrough, and she didn't catch on the fact that, you know, Deanna was a Star Trek reference. I think it's Deanna Beverly.
I didn't know that one.
Whoever the third girl is, I think Kate is the third girl. She's on for a season and then never again. So.
Of course, speaking of Diana, we did kill her off in one of the pathways too.
So, spoiler alert, with the Rover DLC, I'm thinking of DLC for Cat President. That's going to be the plot twist at the end of the murder mystery, that Diana isn't actually dead and she wants revenge. But I have to do it because I've already come up with like pun names for Rover's murder mystery. Let me see, Murder on the Disoriented Express. Okay. And then there were Bone. Proud of that one. I've got to think of two more, but I was thinking for the DLC, I'd only make it like 4 chapters long, so each thing would be only 20 pages.
I'm starting to feel like we make games starring animals just for the puns.
Yes.
I mean, that's the whole reason, right? Like, I'll look in the comments of a Let's Play of Cat President on YouTube, and it's, you know, just nonstop people adding their own puns and even suggesting puns that we should have used in the game. A lot of people were really upset that we weren't referring to it as the per residential debate, for example, stuff like that.
We should go with that. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think I actually did make some notes of a couple puns that if and when I update the game next that I might try to work into the script. Anchovy, also on my list of pizza pun names, by the way. Anchovy.
Because right now, for the pizza delivery guy name, all the placeholder names are Hardy Boys characters. They're all Hardy.
Yeah, I caught the first one because the main character is called Joe Hardy. I did catch that.
And then Chet is their buddy, and actually I don't know who the boss is named after. I just put down Mr. Jones. That's not named after anybody. Let me see. Lodge Lane is named after Archie Comics. That's Veronica's last name. Ah, never mind. I guess I only have like two characters from the pizza delivery guy game as a.
I feel like I saw a Nancy in there somewhere.
Oh yeah, Sheila's gonna have to change. That's the name of my boss's boss from the
pizza delivery. Yeah, I saw place. You made a note about that. yeah, there we go. Nancy works at the pizza store. Huh. I need you to keep working until Nancy comes in to replace you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So why don't we talk about this on the air? What are we thinking for the art style? Should we do just full Cat President, like photos for the characters, photos for the backgrounds? Should we do art, like drawings for people, drawings for backgrounds? How are you imagining this game in your head?
Have you gotten to Sheila yet?
Yes, and I raised the same question that you're about to raise.
How are we going to get an actress to play that character?
We're not, is the problem with that one. And I had a few ideas.
We should probably explain this for the readers who have no idea.
Yeah, right. I don't want to spoil the game too much, you know, like a year before it comes out. But so if you think you're going to still remember this a year from now, pause for the next, or, you know, skip ahead a little bit. go ahead.
So Sheila is basically, she's a character who answers the door wearing a large t-shirt, and it doesn't look like she's wearing pants whatsoever. Towards the end of the game, she's going to take her t-shirt off, and she's wearing a workout uniform with short shorts and stuff like that. But it leads to awkwardness because he thinks that, you know, she's answering the door not wearing any pants. Which is something that happened when I delivered pizzas, and there are people that would... There were regular customers who would not be fully clothed when...
Of course.
They came to order their pizzas.
Yeah, so I had a few thoughts on that. So if we... let me back up a little bit. If we do photos for the characters, I'd like to try to have different expressions for most of the characters this time.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that was a criticism of Cat President. Someone thought that the cats should have different expressions.
And that's actually something I tried to work into the DJ Nibbles DLC.
Oh, really?
With the human person who's running for president. My stepdaughter Mary wanted to be in Cat President. She's complained several times that I'm in it and mom's in it.
She should have been in
and
it.
And she's not in it. And I said, there are no roles for little girls. So with DJ Nibbles, I decided, I know your wife wanted to see a human running for president. So I was like, okay, fine. Yeah. Mary's going to be this little girl who's running for president against DJ Nibbles.
Lizzo, human president is on. She just cheered from the other room.
Yay. So I took a couple of pictures of Mary. It's like, oh, here's her being sweet and nice, and then here's a picture of her being evil and angry. And so I specifically wrote that into the script where the girl starts out nice and then turns out angry and evil, and the character's comments like, wow, that girl was more expressive than anybody else I've ever met. Because she's got multiple pictures for her emotions.
I like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I was thinking we could try to do something similar for the pizza delivery guy game. If we go with photos and we specifically solicit photos from people instead of relying on stock art, then it's totally reasonable that we could get people to take, you know, angry picture, happy picture, you know, nervous picture, stuff like that. I think that would be totally doable. But we will run into problems, as you say, with the Sheila character, as I don't know that anyone would want to take those pictures for us to put in a video game. But I had the idea that maybe we could, you know, go on stock photo websites again and see if there happened to be anyone who modeled, you know, sports jersey, no pants.
Aww.
And maybe, yeah, I know.
Well, I'm saying aw because I know stuff that's going to happen at the very end of the game, which would get us into crazy spoiler territory.
Okay, but basically, well, I'm not there yet either, so don't... Oh, no.
She's going to help him on his quest to save the world. That was always there at the very beginning.
Okay, yeah, so... I mean, that might lean us more toward getting drawings for the characters, and of course, then we'll have to figure that out. So should we... do drawings for both sets then? Drawings for everything or photo backgrounds or?
I do like photo backgrounds though on drawings, but I was also going to say, because we have time travel for some reason. I don't know what inspired me to put that in the game, but we also need a future Joe to play.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, because I kept picturing you as Joe in my head. I was like, okay, how are we going to get like old man makeup and a wig? Like, oh man, who knows how to do old man makeup? Nobody.
I actually have kind of a detailed book in our library for stage makeup, which explains how to do that. It wouldn't be too difficult. Oh, what I would specifically do is I take like one set of photos. I'd take young Joe set of photos first, and then I'd get my hair cut, and then I'd take old Joe photos with old Joe makeup.
Oh man, I kind of like that. That would be kind of cool.
And because they have slightly different hairstyles, you know, but they'd look pretty much the same. I don't know, that was one thought I had.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's you know, we still got plenty of time, but it's going to be something we'll have to figure out at some point. For the photo backgrounds, too, a lot of them are going to be pretty easy. It's like picture of someone's front door, you know, no problem.
Yeah, front desk.
I wasn't sure about, like, pizza kitchen and stuff like that, though. Unless you happen to take any pictures at your job.
I could go back to my job and take a picture of a pizza oven. Actually, our pizza oven is outdated, but there should be pictures of the pizza
even better.
Oven. Either that or a picture of like a food line. I think both of those would work. Okay. I mean, both of those are inside the kitchen, so either direction. You know, as long as we get the general idea that he's in the kitchen, because there are only like three places where he goes inside the store. It's basically he goes to the row of computers, he is at the front desk taking orders, and then somewhere in the back cooking pizzas.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, because we could use, like, stock photos again if we need to, but I want to try to rely, like, we already weren't using a ton of stock photos in Cat President, despite what the credits might lead you to believe, but I want to really bring that number down even more if we can. Just, again, that was, like, another criticism of the game that's a pretty fairly easy thing for us to address if we can just, you know, go out and get the photos, depending on, you know, what the sets are. I was trying to keep a list, actually, of all the different backgrounds, and I mean, a lot of them are really easy, like a college, again, you know, various front doors and stuff like that.
It's literally just those three pizza places, his apartment, various front doors.
Of course, that's a reason why it wouldn't be like super expensive to get someone to draw the backgrounds too, because if we're not asking them to make too many, you know, it wouldn't like cost too much money. Like my concern with contracting out work for these games is always like, am I going to spend more money on this game is going to make? Because that's a problem for me. But yeah, lots of stuff for us to think about. I love that we do our game planning on public Twitter and on a podcast that we release to everyone. Like,
yeah, so that's led to a couple of fun things here on the pizza delivery game. Like, let me see. I think Anna wanted him to fall in love with pizza, and so I just wrote in a romance pizza scene.
That was one of my favorite parts. Yeah, I mean, that's cool though, right? Because, I mean, we get, like, live ideas on the fly while we're talking about it. If anyone wants to join the conversation, all you have to do is follow both of us on Twitter, at Paul M. Franzen and at Argelfump, and you'll see us tweeting at each other, you know, every few days, random dumb ideas that are in our heads.
Yeah, so
I mean, that's where Cat President came from. Yeah. It was a weird Twitter exchange.
I mean, not so much anymore now that I'm riding on the bus, I guess. Yeah, so another question I had, or a question I had specifically for the pizza delivery boy, is it, like, at all divided up into chapters in a logical fashion whatsoever? I don't know if the chapters are the same length. I don't know if it makes sense.
Oh, I haven't been checking length at all, but I mean, the divisions always seem to make sense. There's nothing where it's like, wait, why is the story suddenly ending here and continue? Like, it all worked pretty well for me. Nothing jumped out at me.
Not even with the he goes to work, and all of a sudden we pick up on him again at work, only he fell asleep on his break and was dreaming about pizza.
I liked that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that worked out well. I'm also noted. I scrolled by it again. Joe has an uncle that's obsessed with my local football team when I lived in California.
Yeah,
the Arcata Tigers. That's such a like a deep cut reference. Did you like? What made you think to do that?
At our pizza place, our is. We've got a room at our pizza place. The pizza room is named after the local high school team. And I didn't want to use my town, so I used your town.
So you used mine instead.
That is literally the thought process behind
it. Oh, that's hilarious.
Okay, so should we start wrapping up and answering the user emails? Because we got emails on Twitter, so, I mean, or not emails, but people tweeted at us, so that's a bonus to following us on Twitter.
Yeah, I just like an hour before we started recording, I asked if anyone had any questions they wanted us to talk about, and lo and behold, we actually got responses. This is the first time ever for this podcast. Okay, so, all right, here's the first question from Elizabeth Pfeffer? No, she listens, so she can tell me if I'm pronouncing it wrong. She asks us, do you think games should have musical numbers?
We tried to have musical numbers in Cat President. I think only one made the cut.
There were some scheduling issues that caused problems with that.
Yeah, it's sort of like the problem with getting, you know, artwork and stuff done. It's like it requires like scheduling two or three people, because you not only need somebody to sing it, you need somebody to play it as well, and then we need somebody to sync it too.
It was a sad story why it didn't work, so I don't want to talk about that very much. But in general, yes, I do. For any King's Quest fans out there, I'm about to express an extremely unpopular opinion, but I really, really like King's Quest VII, and one of the reasons for that is that it opens with this beautifully animated, like, Disney-style musical number, and it just, like, it gets me into the game every single time I play.
So that's the one that...
I don't know, I love stuff like that.
That's the one everybody complains is too 1990s. And I think I've seen the comments on it. It's like, get the 90s out of my ears.
They say it's too much like a Disney movie. And that's sort of what I like about the game, you know. And I like that it's you know, an adventure game, a video game about a mom and her daughter. Like, that's... Even now, that's a pretty unusual thing to exist, and it was much, much more so back when the game came out.
Even for Disney movies, like, that was one of the things that was unique about Brave was, it's basically a mother-daughter story, and they don't make a lot of those.
Yeah, well, maybe that should be our next game. I have a big, crazy person whiteboard on my wall that lists all the projects that are currently in whatever stage of production, and it's getting a little overwhelming. We still need to work more on the short stories bundle too. Whatever the one I've been calling in my head, the Francie Drew and Friends Mystery Pack, but I don't know if that's going to be the final name.
Yeah.
But so I think we got 3 out of the 5 games basically ready to go, but we still got 2 more to finish, and I think I need to prioritize those at some point just so I can get them off my whiteboard.
Yeah, so I need to, I mean, that's on the list of things to do at some point. One of my trips on the bus, I will go through and actually program in all the characters for Trapped in a Soap Opera, because I've got all the artwork done, finally. And now I just need to, put in artwork for every single line of the game.
That's the fun part.
That's the very, very fun part, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're getting there on that, yeah. So to answer Elizabeth's question, yes. Games should have musical numbers. I think they're super fun. And you can have games like Rhapsody, the PlayStation 1 game that was literally a musical. Like, it was a role-playing game musical. Like, I think a lot of people don't like that game, but I kind of thought it was the best just because of that. I think more games should have musical numbers. Absolutely. Do you agree? Or?
I agree. It's just somebody else can make those games.
Yeah, that's true. Like, yeah. Not, yeah.
Although, you don't want it to become like, I'd say, Telltale's Back to the Future, where it just felt like I don't know why they put in those musical numbers there.
Oh, I liked those parts. I still sing the I Don't Care song in my head
that's
whenever
a great
I read something.
I just felt like, I'm like, is this really, when I'm making a list of Back to the Future, what pops into my head is like, I need musical numbers.
That's fair. Oh, but it was cool. Like, they made it, it was like a puzzle, though. Like, you had to get the, wasn't that the one where you had to get the character on stage to sing the right songs to set the mood?
Yeah, you had to switch the lyrics for the song, and fortunately, Trixie just was not smart enough to realize the lyrics had been changed.
I think that's actually a pretty cool example of musical numbers introduced in games, because it's not just a cutscene; it's actually something that you're actively involved in. But yeah, I also see your point. It doesn't really scream Back to the Future.
I was gonna say
it screams we had a good idea for a puzzle.
Two episodes later, though, when she sings another musical song, that was kind of out of nowhere, and it didn't. That, you know, when they go to, like, the idea fair or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
and it
opens
with her singing a musical number, which everybody just kind of blanks out, so.
I guess this speaks to how much that stuck with me, because I actually just replayed the Back to the Future game earlier this year, and I've already forgotten that part, so.
Yeah, but no, I don't care. It was good. I've still got the lyrics memorized.
Yeah, I was surprised to learn just the other day that that's actually a real song. They didn't make that up for Back to the Future. I guess I probably should have known that, but it was we did early Thanksgiving dinner at my parents' house a couple weeks ago, and someone randomly referenced it there. and Lizzo and I just kind of looked at each other like, that's a real song? Okay, so yes, games should have musical numbers. All right, question number two. This question comes from Allison Rose on Twitter, and she wants to know, what was the first video game you remember playing growing up, and did you like it?
Super Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt for the Nintendo Entertainment System, and I kind of liked it. I'm not actually a big fan of Super Mario Brothers, the original.
The original, okay. I was about to get really sad again. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no. What Super Mario Brothers did you think I was talking about?
Just the series in general.
I like the series in general. Have they, you know about video games. Have they made one for the Wii U?
There was a bunch for the Wii U. There was New Super Mario Brothers Wii U, New Super Luigi U, and I want to say it was Super Mario 3D World. They were all really good. They're the newer, like, kind of co-op games. My wife and I just, like, kind of devoured them.
Interesting.
They're actually almost the only games we have for the Wii U are the Mario games.
I was wondering if they had done Do they consider, like, the mains? There are so many Mario series, but I always thought that there was, like, one main series, or Super Mario 64, and then Super Mario Sunshine, and Super Mario Galaxy,
right.
Super Mario Galaxy 2. It's like, is there an entry for that in the Wii U, or is it just new Super Mario Brothers, or Super Mario 3D Land Wii U?
those names are terrible. You know, I don't know if there was. If there is, we don't have it. Oh, man, that's so weird.
Because I know they've been struggling to get the one Zelda game. Zelda seems to be the same as Mario. It's like, okay, we'll release one every 5 years.
Yeah. Poor Wii U, man. That game did not have a great life. I don't know. I was about to say we own, like, five, maybe six games for it, and all of them but one are Mario games, and the one that's not is a Wario game. So, not a lot of diversity for us in that. There was also, like, a Yoshi game that looked kind of interesting, but we never got that out. But to get back to Allison's question, my answer is the same as Michael's. First game I remember playing is Super Mario Brothers, and I should really put playing in big old quotation marks there. My family loves to tell the story about how my start in gaming was asking my dad to please play Mario for me. And I would sit, like, the game was too hard for me. To be honest, the game is still too hard for me. But, you know, I was a very little person, and I couldn't handle all the moving around and the jumping. And I would ask my dad to sit there and on the couch, sit with me and play the game for me. And I'd watch him jump on things. And it was really nice.
Yeah.
So I liked watching him play. I don't know that I liked playing it.
Yeah, I think the first game I actually played and was any good at was Mickey Mouse Capades. And by any good at, I mean I was really good at beating the first level, and then I got to the ocean, and then that was just it. But the first level of the Mickey Mouse Capades is kind of complicated. It's fun.
That's what it's like for all those old Nintendo games, right? Like, I think I've played the first level of every game I own, and that's pretty much it. Yeah, I think I didn't get any good at any video game until Super Nintendo, when Super Mario World came out, and I destroyed that one, all the secret levels. My dad and I, at one point, we were just talking about this at Thanksgiving, we maximized the points score on the upper right or left of the screen. Like, mm-hmm. We got it 999999, like, you couldn't add any more points to the score. We just kept playing until we got that size, and then we took a picture with our film camera. It's still in a family album somewhere. It was a very, very proud moment for the friends and family household.
Just, did we have anything else to say about, I guess, Pizza Delivery Boy or video games? So, none of the puzzles, they're all dialogue tree puzzles, so it should yes. It should be great.
Oh, thank you for that. Yeah, I don't know, if we ever do a third Francie Drew game, I think at this point, unfortunately, those games have to have puzzles, because that's what the series is, but no puzzles in anything else, man. Renpy was not built for that. It's so, like, I'll spend, like, you know, a couple days, a week, programming, like, one stupid puzzle, and then the next day I'll just code, you know, like, the next, like, 10 scenes in the game. Like, it takes so much longer to make than I feel the player gets out of it. But actually, that's a good question for anyone out there. Maybe you guys can help me out with this. If you've played the first Francie Drew game, which is the only one currently available, Francie Drew and the Mystery of the Missing Mother-in-Law, if you played that, did you like the puzzles? did they add to the game? Did they add the game enough to justify giving me all these gray hairs? Let us know in an email, on Twitter, whatever you want.
Yeah, I that's why I think why we keep thinking about going into adventure games or, you know, a different style of puzzles, because it'd be a lot easier to do puzzles, I guess, in an adventure game engine.
Oh, definitely, definitely item puzzles specifically. Again, I
not moving around people's names puzzles. That's still out.
I'd have to. It's not something I've done in Adventure Game Studio, the software I used for The Beard in the Mirror. I guess you haven't played it yet, have you? Because I saw it was on your Steam wish list. No, every puzzle in that game is dialogue based, is item based, except for one where you have to run around and not get caught by a crazed cook, but. Other than that, I mean, it's all item stuff, and I guess dialogue stuff, too.
Yeah, because I remember there's a dialogue puzzle at the very beginning with that monster with three heads or something. Has that made the final cut of the game?
There's no dialogue puzzle with the ogre. You have to collect an item to use on him, I think. So, again, lots of item-based stuff. There's kind of like a Mad Libs-style scene at one point in the game where you're like telling a bedtime story to someone, and you have to, like, look around your environment and take inspiration from stuff in the room for telling the story. Like, you're trying to name the main character, for example, and if you examine any of the characters in the room, it'll insert that person's name into the story, stuff like that. Here's the big secret about that puzzle, though, is you can click whatever you want and it works. I mean, you still, like, the design of the scene is that you get to choose what the story is about and what happens in the story, but ultimately you always win.
I've got a couple of that for the lawyer FMV game, where it's basically it's like both options are going to work here because I don't think I've explained the situation well enough.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really the only part in The Beard in the Mirror that's like that. And I mean, I wouldn't even call it a puzzle. It's just like an interactive scene, you know, a nice little break from some of the more challenging stuff in the game. But yeah, it's not something I really lean on. It just happened. I think actually it came about because I was playing some Telltale games when I was writing it, and there were a few Telltale games that do stuff like that, these kind of Mad Lib style scenes. And I thought they were really funny, so I wanted to do one too.
Yeah, I know there's I know you liked the grammar puzzle for Life in the Dorm, so I'm trying to get a grammar puzzle into the Lawyer FMV game.
There was someone who played Life in the Dorms. Actually, it was my my cousin, and he played it, and he said that every game you make has to have a grammar puzzle now. That was so good.
So yeah, no. So that's going to be one of the parts of the fan fiction chapter.
Yes.
Case is I came up with one puzzle with it's a summary page, and they see the summary page, and the challenge is to point out, okay, what's the grammatical problem with the summary page. And it is that he accidentally, the title is like the Deadly Triforce, and the first two letters are TH, and those were both capitalized instead of just capitalizing the first letter.
Sure. Oh man, I like it. Awesome. Huh. All right, I think we can start wrapping up now.
Yeah, otherwise we'll just get into the Lawyer FMV game, and I feel like we could save that for another...
all right, wait, real quick. Should Mary be in the Lawyer FMV game?
Oh, how am I going to work that into the script?
I don't know, but you have a cute kid right there.
You're right.
And she probably, especially if you and I are going to be in the game. Just a random thought. We'll sleep on that
one.
All right. I think that about does it for this episode. Once again, you can follow us on Twitter if you want to join in our game dev discussions or just see whatever dumb stuff we're tweeting about during the day. I'm at Paul M. Franzen, and Michael is at Argelfumpf, spelled exactly as it sounds. You can check out all of our games on Steam or itch.io if you'd like, or go to oarock.com. That'll give you the list of the whole list of games we've made. The latest game we released... was The Beard in the Mirror, our retro-style point-and-click adventure game just out on Steam. Please buy it. It's not selling as well as I'd like it to. Please go buy it. And if you bought it, please review it.
I want to buy it. It's on my list. It's just, I've got so many...
yeah, you're waiting for it to go on sale, aren't you?
No, it's... I've got so many other games on my to-do list. I just played Barbie Detective 3, which has been on my to-do list forever. When did I play the second game? I can tell you how many months ago it was that I've actually played the second game.
Oh man, wait, is there going to be an Argelfumpf Let's Play of The Beard in the Mirror? Because that sounds like the best
thing.
That
was actually what I was thinking of doing.
Oh, yes. We'll double our sales.
April. So Barbie Detective, you know, so I just got around to a game that has been on hold since April, so...
Oh, that's hilarious.
Beard in the Mirror might have to wait a little longer.
That's fine, there's no rush. What else? Our theme song is Dead Monster by March of the Danger Men. You can check them out on SoundCloud. And if you have any questions about game development or any of the games we've worked on, we'd love to hear them. Just email them to podcast@oarock.com. And I think that's about it, unless you have something else you wanted to add.
Thank you for buying our games, everybody.
Yes. Buy The Beard in the Mirror.
Yes.
And Cat President, I guess.
And Cat President, yay.
And review them. Positive reviews on Steam really, really do help us. You know, I've seen people talking about, I forget which game it was, but they were saying, I'm kind of interested, but I want to see what the reviews say first. So please, if you've played either of these games, review them on Steam, because it really, it helps us tremendously. And yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. See you later.
Bye.
Well, I wonder if people were like, oh, yes, my child, Rover, you know? Like, oh.